As we get into 2021, obviously, we're still dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. The silver lining, of course, is that the vaccine is here, and slowly but surely, people are in the process of getting vaccinated. Dr. Keely Godwin is primary care and family doctor and also the president of the Durham Orange County Medical Society, and she joins us now on the phone to talk about the vaccine and what you need to know. Dr. Godwin, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So where do we stand just in general on vaccines locally in Orange County, Durham County, and in this part of the area?
So what we're seeing from the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services is that we're starting to see some advances in what's happening with our vaccines. It looks like the last data that I saw from their website says that about 9,000 people in Durham have had their first dose of the vaccine, with about 800 people actually completing both doses, because as you know, it's a two-dose vaccine, and those doses are about 21 to 28 days apart. And then in Orange County, about 5,000 people have started the vaccine process, with about 400 of them completing it. So we are starting to see that vaccine roll out in Durham and Orange County both.
So what we're in phase 1B now, right, which is anyone 75 or older. How what is the process of each of us individually finding out, okay, now it's your phase? Do people reach out to you? Do you reach out to people to schedule an appointment? How does that work?
So from the website, which is the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services has really done a fantastic job with creating a dashboard on their website. And it does have a lot of that information, including a vaccine locator. So if you're wondering, hey, well, where do I go? Do I call my family doctor? Do I call my primary care doctor? Right now, the vaccines are primarily being distributed through health departments. So a lot of it has to do with understanding sort of where you sit in those different groups, right? So they're broken down into four groups, and then some of those groups are broken down a little bit further, which is why we had the 1A and the 1B. So right now, 1B is people who are over 75 and some of those frontline essential workers. So that's people like first responders, police, EMT, corrections staff. Also, they can, and some of those essential workers are food and agriculture workers who are working in close quarters, postal workers, food service and grocery workers are also in that 1B group. So right now, the we're sort of doing 1B1, so it's the people that are over 75 and some of those first responders. But the best place to contact, actually, to schedule your vaccine is your local county health department. So in Orange County Health Department it's the Orange County Health Department as well as the UNC Hospital System. And in Durham, the vaccines are being given through the Durham County Health Department or at Duke Regional or Duke University Hospital. So you can contact one of those vaccine sites and they'll actually schedule you for a vaccine. So there's no walk-in appointments. You don't just walk in and say, hey, I want my shot, like you would normally with a flu vaccine. But to schedule a vaccine, and this is a moment for me to sort of, as an aside, if you are a veteran and you get your care at the VA, through the Durham VA, the Durham VA schedule is slightly different from the state schedule. And, they are also scheduling people, for vaccines, and you can just call the VA directly and they'll ask you a list of screening questions. And if you fit into the group that's being vaccinated now, they'll go ahead and schedule you for that vaccine as well.
Is there a difference as far as we're concerned? Is there a difference between like the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine? Like, should we be pulling strings or calling in favors to get this one over that one, or are they basically the same?
Essentially, they're the same in terms of the way that they both work and in terms of how effective they are. We're looking at a difference of maybe 3 to 5% efficacy, meaning how effective they are at fighting inducing your immune system to create a response to the virus. The main difference is, obviously, as people have talked about, the storage and transportation of the vaccine. The Moderna doesn't require quite the super cold that the Pfizer vaccine requires. And so for some of those more rural areas and more rural health departments, they're focusing on the Moderna vaccine because it's a little bit easier to store and they don't have to have those guaranteed freezer backups. The other thing to keep in mind is that, so say you're at a place where their freezer failed, the power went out over the weekend and their freezer failed. It doesn't mean that the vaccine is automatically destroyed or going to cause a problem. The once you thaw the vaccine, you have 2 to 3 days to administer it. So that's sort of, people are worried because you have to thaw it to give it. Nobody wants an ice cube in their arm, obviously.
I was wondering about that. Yeah. Everyone talked about like, oh, super cold. I'm like, how is this going to feel going in? Okay, that's good. That's good. I know.
And very cold vaccines hurt like a son of a gun going in.
I'm sure,
vaccinated a number of children, you definitely want them to be room temperature. But again, once it's thawed, you have 2 or 3 days for that vaccine to still continue to be stable. And the reason for that is these are preservative-free vaccines. So there's no preservative like we see with some of the other vaccines that'll allow them to maybe sit on a shelf or be transported to rural areas like some of the other vaccines that we see. And so because these are preservative-free vaccines, we really rely on that super cold temperature to maintain the stability of the vaccine. And so say you get a vaccine that for some reason was sat out for too long, it's not going to cause a side effect. It's not going to cause a problem. The vaccine doesn't become dangerous. It just becomes less effective, which obviously is not ideal. So that's why they're sort of limiting who has access to the vaccine, because we want to make sure that you have the ability, those sites have the ability to keep the vaccine cold and therefore keep it effective until they thaw it out and give it to the patients that are scheduled.
Speaking with Dr. Keely Godwin, Durham Orange County Medical Society is presenting this conversation as well. DOCMedSoc.org, M-E-D-S-O-C, DOCMedSoc.org is the website, or just Google Durham Orange County Medical Society. It'll come right up. So once we get the vaccination, does it start working immediately? Is there a lag time? Do we know how long it lasts, if this is something we're going to need an annual or regular booster for?
So we're not sure about boosters yet, and we're not sure how long that immunization will actually last and grant you that immunity. We're used to getting, you know, our tetanus shot every 10 years, or that pneumonia shot for high-risk patients every 5 to 10 years, depending on what their risk is. So right now, we just don't have enough time. You know, that's one of the things about medicine, is that the research usually involves time, which is probably the most expensive reagent that we have out there. But in terms of when the vaccine starts working, the data on both vaccines is that it looks like we start to see an increase in those antibodies that our body is making about 2 weeks after the first dose. Now, that's not peak efficacy. That's just, hey, we can detect antibodies at this point. And the peak efficacy is about 2 weeks after that second dose. So if you got your first dose today, it would be about 6 to 8 weeks from now before you would really be protected. So, you know, don't go get your shot and then run around without your mask on. We still need masking and social distancing and hand washing to help prevent infection, not only for people that are vaccinated, but for people who haven't had the opportunity to get that vaccine done yet.
And that was going to be my next question. Once you get it, and you're getting yours this week, right? What happens?
Yeah,
what do you do next after that?
This afternoon.
Yeah. What do you do next?
Yeah, I wear my mask and I wash my hands, and I continue to see patients that I can on video or telephone. But those patients who need to come in and be seen, we are seeing face to face. For those patients who we just can't wait. But the truth is that, as with all vaccines, there's a certain amount of penetration into a community that needs to be achieved before we feel like we have good control.
Yep.
Because there's always going to be people who can't get the vaccine, right? This is a little bit different from some of the other vaccines, like the live virus vaccines. People who are immune suppressed can't do live virus vaccines, like the old chickenpox vaccine, or the old shingles vaccine, or even that measles and mumps vaccine. But this one is just a protein, so we don't have to worry about that. But there are some people who have an allergy to the lipid or fat layer that protects the protein. So those are people. So we think for the most part, most vaccines require anywhere between 80 and 90% community buy-in or vaccination to be truly effective. So no vaccine is 100%. Even these, which are excellent, they look like they're probably between 90 and 95% effective. But things that have a very low chance of happening still happen. They don't. They aren't zero. And so the best protection is if you're 95% protected, and the rest of your community, 90% of the people in your community are also 95% protected, then that reduces that risk significantly.
Yep. Speaking with Dr. Keely Godwin, and as we wrap up, anything else that folks need to know?
I think the biggest thing that I'm hearing for patients that are a little bit anxious or hesitant to take the vaccine, the one thing I really think is important is to think about the safety of these vaccines. A lot of people are afraid that because the vaccines seem to come out very quickly, they're worried about safety. These vaccines are based on research that was being done for the last 3 to 5 years on the MERS vaccine. That's the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome virus, sort of similar to SARS virus. So this is not new research. This is not something that just popped out of the air from January of last year. This is research that's been going on for several years. And the other thing is even if you say, okay, well, this is not new research, that's fine, but how did they make it so fast, right? Are they cutting corners in production that jeopardize my safety? And this is one of the things where that public-private partnership with the government actually really got it right. And what they did was most vaccines or medications, when they go into trial or when they're tested, you start with that initial phase one, that's doing testing in the lab on animals, that sort of stuff. Then you go to phase two, which is very, very limited human trials. Then we move to phase three, where we have more human trials. And now we're trying to figure out, hey, is it safe? And so the trials that we did for phase three, about 10 times as many people participated in phase three safety trials than do for most vaccines. Usually we see about 3,000 people in a trial. These trials each had about 30,000 people, which is really great in terms of numbers. But the other thing that happened was, if you're a company making a vaccine or a medication, when you go into phase three trials, you're still not mass producing it because that's a big financial risk, right? You might fail your phase three trials. In this case, the government stepped in and said, hey, you make it to phase three, you start make the vaccine as if it has already succeeded. And then that way, when it succeeds and it's approved, you'll have it and it'll be ready to ship. If it doesn't succeed, we're going to eat the financial cost for you. So that was a huge burden in terms of just production and dispersion that we have for the vaccine. That's why the day that the FDA authorized the use for the vaccines, they were ready to ship. It wasn't because they were cutting corners. It's because they had this guarantee that they weren't going to take a bath financially by producing the vaccine before it was ready or before it had passed those trials. Those are the things that made me feel a lot more confident about, hey, I'm getting this vaccine. I'm not afraid of it, because the data is, a good 5 years worth of research that's been put into this. And then the manufacturing, there were no corners cut on the manufacturing to get it done quickly. They've been manufacturing it since they started the phase three of those trials. And I think that should give people a little more confidence.
Get more info from the Durham Orange County Medical Society. Find them online. Do a Google search. It'll come right up. Dr. Keely Godwin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Be safe. Wear your mask.